I'm going to have a little bit of fun with this morning. As you, many of you saw the sermon title this morning, Where Were You When I Needed You? There probably were a lot of minds here this morning that went back to the late 60s and early 70s when the Grassroots first had their top 40 hit by that same name, Where Were You When I Needed You? And in this song that they sang, which is incidentally, I'm going to date myself, I did happen to see them when they came to Williamsport back, I don't remember when, to what is now the Community Arts Center. I think it was the Capitol Theater, if I'm not mistaken, at the time. But at any rate, in this song, which was not actually gender-specific, I'm going to speak in it that way because of the man that was singing the song. In this song, his girl comes back to him and wants him to take her back. But he sings to her and tells her, don't bother crying, don't bother crawling. It's all over now. There's no use in stalling because the love that I once felt, I don't feel anymore for you. And this time I'll even open the door for you so that you can leave. And the reason was that the girl walked off when the guy had trouble in his life. But you see, now that things are good in his life, she's back. And he says, I'm well off now, and look who's coming around. But he says to her, where were you when I needed you? Where were you when I wanted you? Where were you when I needed you? And he decides in this song that living without her, I'm sorry, living with her was worse than living without her because of what she put him through and how every time he had trouble in his life, she wasn't around, she left. And that he decided he wasn't going to spend his lifetime worrying about her anymore, thinking about her, because when things got rough, she disappeared. And now he's back on his feet and he's saying, yeah, I'm back on my feet. Look who's standing here. And he's saying, where were you when I needed you? Where were you when I wanted you? What the singer is saying is that she only comes around when things are good and leaves when things get rough. And he decides that he's better off without someone like her in his life because he needs someone who is always there for him, especially when he has trouble. And what's sad in life is that many people look back on their lives and all they can see is that when things got bad, it seemed like God wasn't there. They feel the same way about God. And they find it hard to see that God was and is with them at every step in their life, in the good times and especially in the bad times. And we call this characteristic of God His omnipresence, which means He's present in all places, at all times. Now, I want you to think about this. Because so many people, like this man in the song, lost their love for God and don't love God anymore because they look back on their lives and all they can do is have a pity party thinking God wasn't there when I needed Him, when in fact He really was. Because God is omnipresent. He's present in all places at all times. Think about this a little bit. That's forward and back in time. God right now is present here in this place. He's present over there. He's present up at the Baptist Church. He's present up the Gap. He's present over in Williamsport. He's present over in Europe. He's present all over the world right now. But He's present all those places in the past right now and in the future right now. God already knows the future. He's present there. And He's waiting for us to catch up with Him. He's omnipresent. And He always was in our lives and He always will be present. Too many people today believe that they're in the same shape that they're in because God left them when things got bad. Like the fellow in the song, they feel like God walked out when they were down. When we take a realistic look now at our past in comparison with God's people in the past who endured hardships, we begin to understand the ways that God was with us. You know, I'm a bigger picture person. You know, to me, life is more,
life is about more than just getting cold French fries at McDonald's or something like that. We see the bigger picture of how God feeds us and provides for us every day, and how there are people around this world who would love an order of cold French fries from McDonald's. You see what I'm saying? There's a bigger picture, and we cannot get all wrapped up in the fact that 10 years ago, when I needed finances, God didn't provide them. 20 years ago, when this certain thing happened to me, God wasn't there. There's a bigger picture involved in the whole thing. When we start to take a realistic look at this God that we worship, this God of Nehemiah's day, and how God dealt with His people, we start to understand that God was and is always present everywhere with us. Last week we talked about God's people gathering together to worship on this day, and how as they gathered to worship, they first confessed their sins, and then they broke out in this prayer to the Lord, to Yahweh God, and they started remembering as they looked back, giving God the glory for choosing Abram and leading him to this place, to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, and how God kept His promise. They start looking back and giving God the glory. You did this, God. You did this, God. You saw the suffering of our forefathers in Egypt. In God's omniscience, He saw how His people suffered. And what did He do? He acted because He was able and wanted to, so He sent miraculous signs and wonders because He knew how arrogantly the Egyptians had treated them. And He made a name for Himself by doing this. How God had divided the sea. How He hurled their pursuers into the depths. How He led them with a pillar of cloud by night and a pillar of fire by day. Now I want you to think about something. When they were looking back on their past and their forefathers and how they got to where they were, they could have said, God, why did You lead us out into the desert to be hungry, to be thirsty? Why did You lead us up against the sea where there was no way out? Why didn't You just lead us into greener pastures and provide an abundance for us along the way? The reason God didn't do that was because God loved them. And He wanted them to be strong. He wanted them to rely on Him. He wanted them to remember who was in charge of their lives. He wanted them to see how much He loved them. Because, you know, when we receive abundance in our lives, it's quick and it's easy to forget all about God. We're like a girl in the song. You know, when things are going good, you know, we just don't want to have anything to do with God. We're doing good. We're doing good. We're handling everything by ourselves. We're strong. But as they started to reflect back on their past, they saw a God who knew, a God who acted upon His knowledge, and a God who was present every step of the way. We call this omnipresence. And that He not only provided a way through the sea, He not only destroyed their pursuers, He came down personally. He got personal with His people. He came down personally and took the situation into His own hands. They remembered that when they needed God, God personally came on the scene. You came down on Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and laws that are just and right. Now they're seeing the God who is just and righteous. You gave them decrees and commands that are good. And You made known to them Your holy Sabbath, and You gave them commands, decrees, and laws through Your servant Moses. So as they looked back, they started to see, and they started to give God the credit for the fact that He had not only been there for them, but that He had personally come and intervened and spoke to them and told them what He wanted them to do and what He expected of them, so that they could know truly they were God's children. And in this, God commanded holiness. Now I want to ask you something. When they look back on these times in their lives when they were wandering in the desert and they were led to Mount Sinai, all places on this desert peninsula, the first thing God provided when they got there was His laws and decrees, His commands. It was because God loved them that He did this. And He wanted them to be whole in their relationship with Him. You see, I want to ask you, why would God bless anyone who doesn't have any regard for His commands and doesn't have any regard for His desires for His people? Well, we get people today that they're on their knees when the going gets rough. And then when things get good, God's on the back shelf somewhere, gathering dust. There's no regard for God whatsoever until things get rough. And then they expect God to come on the scene of their lives and just dump a lot of money into their checking account, just put a lot of food on their table, just give them that high-paying job that they've been praying about, just put that brand new car in the driveway, just give them that nice, beautiful house that they've wanted. You see what I'm saying? Why would God bless someone who doesn't have any regard for God, His commands, or His decrees? Is it any wonder why we are in the shape that we're in many times in our lives? We get ourselves in these binds. Have we even given it a try to live like God wants us to live? You know, it's like the old example. You drive down the road 70 miles an hour, sooner or later you're going to get in an accident. Are you going to say, God, where were you? Where were you when I was going 70 miles an hour? God says, you were breaking the law. That's why you're in the shape that you're in. Sure, God provided for His people as He led them out of slavery, but the first thing that He made clear is the importance of living godly, righteous, and sober lives. And we confess that in our confession. Grant, O most merciful Father, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life. Why? To the glory of Thy holy name, for God's glory. If we're not glorifying God and living like God wants us to live, and not trying to glorify God with our lives, our need time is wasted time. In our confession, grant us, O most merciful Father, that we may live how You want us to live. You see, we should be singing, where was I when I needed Him? Because many times we come to God with no consideration for His commands or whether we've been living as He wants us to live in the first place. And then we just expect Him to come down and just take care of all these things. And when this happens, a phenomenon takes place. It seems when we're in these times of trouble like God was nowhere to be found, when in fact He was there all along. Instead of being nowhere to be found, like the sign says, God is now here. You ever read that sign? You can read it one of two ways. God is nowhere, or God is now here. I found the more I spend time with God, the more I work to live like God wants me to, because the more I can look back and understand how He's been with me always and everywhere and everything that I've done and every place that I've gone. Life hasn't been full of cherries, but when you look at the bigger picture, it sure has been really sweet, because God has always constantly been with me every place that I have been. And I have almost lost my life several times doing stupid things that I shouldn't have been doing. I'm only alive by the grace of God. I remember a young man out in Clearfield that was in our youth fellowship out there on a motorcycle, and he rode it to school on the first day of school in August one year, and I believe he was 16 or 17 at the time. And for some reason, when he came out of school that hot afternoon, he decided to put his leather jacket on and his helmet, rather than riding home without his helmet. Lo and behold, on the way home, he was coming around a winding turn on this back road, and the motorcycle slid out from underneath him and slid down the road along with him on the side, and there came a truck and ran over his motorcycle and him. And when the whole accident stopped, all the motion ceased, the boy was lying pinned under the truck. Emergency vehicles came and took this young man named David to Altoona Hospital. I remember walking into the hospital and seeing David laying there hooked up to every machine imaginable. But you know, what I could see lying there was the grace of God in that boy's life. Where was God when he needed him? God was sliding down the road with that young man on that motorcycle. God was standing in the road as the truck ran over him. And God said, "Not today. Not today. This boy shall live." One of the greatest testimonies from the young people that I was with out there was the testimony of this young man that God had saved his life that day. You see, it's as we look back on our lives, we can see. It's a relational thing. It's just like one understands a person better by being with them. We better understand God's omnipresence by spending time with God and listening for Him. In my relationship to God, when I was not at where I am now spiritually, I was a boy of about 16 years old. My grandmother had had a stroke. So I was cast into a role that I never in a million years expected or understood why at the time, of helping to take care of my grandfather, who was about 71 years old at the time. Kind of a difficult man to deal with. But for some reason, he took me under his wing, and I spent the next 15 years of my life almost every single day with my grandfather. There were days when I would say to my mother, "I can't take this anymore. I was in my 20s, in the prime of my life. I should have been doing this, I should have been doing that." But no, I was taking care of my grandfather, who eventually was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Many of you have taken care of loved ones, you know what that's like, or you know someone who has it. Not an easy thing to deal with. But I understood, or I understand now, looking back on those days, what a blessing that was to me in helping to mold me into the person that I am now. As I went to the nursing home to visit him, as I cared for him over the years and took care of his personal needs, sometimes very disturbing, so to speak. But God cast me in that role, and day by day He gave me the strength and provided everything I need to fulfill that role that He had put me in. Why? Because now when somebody says to me about the nursing homes not smelling so nice and going around some of these old people being an unpleasant thing, I can look at them and I can say, no, it's a blessing to be with our elderly folks. I understand where they're at and what they're dealing with. In the same way, as I look back, I see that God provided everything along the way in leading me up to my calling into pastoral ministry, or my formal calling that I call it, because I realized that I didn't realize then that God had been calling me since I was a young boy. And when I sat in the office of the district superintendent in Williamsport, and I said, and I believe it was age 38, I said, if God was calling me into ministry, and He knew this, why didn't He call me to college or seminary 20 years ago? And the district superintendent looked at me and he said, because you learned in the last 20 years of life caring for your grandfather and dealing with people in your business, you learned more about being a pastor than you would have in college and seminary. And oh boy, was he ever right. You see, all along the way of life, there's a bigger picture that we've got to look at and understand that it's happening for a reason, and I'm not alone in it. God is right here. And I've come to know God as the same God that led his people out of slavery and all the way to the promised land. And as he provided for me all along the way, he provided for his people then too. You see what he did? In their hunger, he gave them bread from heaven. In their thirst, he brought water from the rock. What? He fed them. He nourished them. He provided their life-giving needs. He didn't provide a caravan of camels to carry him across the desert. He didn't provide a nice cool atmosphere to be in. It was in the desert and in the heat that they could see the power and providence of Almighty God in their lives. And they could look back now and see that as their forefathers wandered in the desert, he provided everything that they needed, and now they could know with assurance that he had provided everything that they needed now to come back and rebuild the city walls. And that not only that, he would provide everything that they needed in the future. Because whatever God leads you to, he will lead you through. He led them and he fed them. He knew the pain of his people and he provided a way of salvation in their pain. And he gave them spiritual direction and physical provision because he knows that the human being needs both. Sometimes God's working on us spiritually. Sometimes he's working on us physically. But he wanted them to be the whole person that he wanted for them to be. Inner and outer. Inner strength and outer strength. And he personally saw to it that they knew who was in charge and what he required. And he personally got involved to give them strength for the journey. And now as they look back and were setting the record straight, the reason they got into this mess in the first place was, as he went on to say, God had provided all these things, but our forefathers became arrogant and stiff-necked, did not obey your commands, refused to listen, and failed to remember the miracles that you performed. They became stiff-necked, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader. In their rebellion, they appointed a leader to lead them back into slavery. In other words, what was taking place is that they had given up on God. They were walking away from God, literally walking away from God in the desert, saying, "See you later, alligator. We're going back to slavery." Why? Because as the singer wrote, the love they once felt for him, they didn't feel anymore. And they were rejecting him and forgetting that he was there when they needed him. And they decided that it was better to live without God in their lives than with them. And as they look back now, these people understood why everything had happened like it did. They understood the bigger picture. It wasn't because God had abandoned them. It was because they had abandoned God. And now as things were rebuilt, including their spiritual lives, they gathered together on the 24th day of Tishri to confess their sins, to give glory to God for saving them and prospering them and for never leaving them. They fully understood now that they could have been destroyed and they deserved to be destroyed, but God instead had continued to be faithful and provide for them every single step of the way. How about your life? What can you see in the past that God has provided for you in those times? As you dig into your memory and look back, I want you to think of what it could have been and now understand what it really is. As they remembered God's presence in their lives, their praise was to God. You were there when we needed you. You were there when we wanted you. And there is never a time when God is not with us. There's never a time when God is not working for us. There's never a time when God is not saving us. Even in death, we can see God providing for us on a Roman cross. When we lay on our deathbeds and take our final breath, we can know that God is there when we need Him. He's there when we want Him. And folks, I just want to remind you that right now, today in our lives, we are living in the past. Because someday, this moment will be the past. And I want you to think and see every day God's presence in your life. And remember that He could destroy us all. He could starve us to death. He could take away everything we have and everything that we know in life. But that's not the kind of God we know, is it? We know that we have a loving God who's always with us. I hope you can feel Him this week. I hope you can see Him. No matter where you are, in the field, in the woods, at work, on the road, in your car, in your truck, in your home, in your bed, wherever you are, God is there with you, providing all you need, because He is omnipresent and He loves us. And when we look back on this day and on this week that's before us, I hope that you can see that God led you and He fed you everything inside and out that you need for each new day. And when you see it, may you give Him the praise and glory that He deserves, that He never abandoned you. Let's pray. God, faithful God and Father, Your Word shows us the kind of God that You are today for us. We wander in our lives, Lord. We're living in valleys, in dry places in life. We're hungry, we're thirsty in many ways, spiritual and physical. We're depressed, we're tired, we're growing old. Whatever it may be, O God, You're there. You're there with us. You're providing for us in special ways to lift us up and to carry us on this journey. And someday we will reach the promised land. And when we look back on this life, we will know for sure all the places and all the times that You've been with us, especially in death. We'll smile and we'll praise You. And until that time comes, may we praise You, our God, our ever-present help in times of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand this morning and sing, "It Is Well With My Soul," number 705, as we rejoice in our Lord and God. Mm-hmm.